Well, it's a joy to be with you once again. I had no idea when I was last with you, that must have been either end of January or beginning of February this year, that the Lord would open another door for me to come and be with you. So I really rejoice in God's providence that here I am once again. And thank you for welcoming my son and me among you. We bring you greetings from Kabwata Baptist Church. We are your brethren across the ocean. And the last time I was here, we had exchanged pulpits with your pastor. This time he's in the congregation. Providence seems not to work in his favor in that direction. This is the last Sunday of the year, as has already been said. And the message that I want to bring to you is one that is often around the theme of Jesus coming into this world. And since it's around the Christmas period, that would have been one of the passages you probably would have meditated upon. But I'm deliberately going there with a view of the year that lies ahead of us. We are about to enter into 2014, and many of us must be processing something of part of a journey that is done, and must be thinking, what is it that lies ahead of me in the year that is about to open up? So that's what I really want us to think about. There are various challenges, no doubt, that we have as individuals. Some of us, there might be health-related challenges. And consequently, we're wondering whether the ailments that we have battled with across 2013 might be indicative of the ending of a journey, as we've just been singing, in this coming year. For others, it's to do with school and employment changes that may already be looming over the horizon, going into new grades, going into college, going into university, beginning a new job, perhaps losing a job, retiring, and so forth. Again, our minds begin to wrestle with what is it that could be lying ahead. The younger ones, perhaps you're thinking in terms of courtship, you're thinking in terms of marriage, you're thinking in terms of adding children to the family. We're all thinking this is like coming to the edge of a new land, new territory, and you're about to enter into a second phase of your journey. What is it that lies ahead? Well, in Luke and chapter 1, we have something of such a beginning. It was a beginning primarily for the people of God, because God was sending His Son into the world. It was a new beginning. There was the old covenant that had been shaped around the ministry and teaching of Moses. And now a new covenant was opening up with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was coming as a newborn baby. And although the media, if we could use that picture, of Palestine and the nation of Israel was not conscious of the significance of that moment, a few individuals were. You will recall old Simeon later on, when baby Jesus was brought to him, realizing that this is it. Mary, Joseph, have already been visited by angels, and consequently, they've also begun to process something significant is about to happen. Well, so was the case with Elizabeth and Zechariah. And I want us to read particularly Zechariah's prophecy beginning with verse 67. He's really centering most of what he has to say about his own son, John, whom he has just named. But as he proceeds, he finally lands upon Jesus himself. We told there, and his father Zechariah, verse 67 of Luke 1, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." He goes on to say there that he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, referring to John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. My interest is in the next two verses. Because, this is the reason why, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And just for comprehensiveness, that last verse, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel." Let's pause for a brief moment. Father, we thank you that on the eve of the commencement of a new year, we can once again shelter under the rock of all ages, the Lord Jesus Christ. That in the midst of all the concerns that we have as human beings traveling through this world, that Lord, we can quieten our hearts in your presence and remind ourselves of the things that really matter. Be with us this morning, we beseech you, and speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. I've already said that the significance of the moment that we find ourselves in is simply the fact that God has made us as human beings to program our lives in terms of days, weeks, months, and years, and we are conscious of the fact that a year is coming to an end, another year is beginning. And therefore, even as we come to church this morning, we must be thinking, Lord, what have you got for us? What have you got for me? What lies ahead of me? I've also mentioned that this is just not something unique to us, but here in Scripture, we have individuals that must have been processing that thought. Zechariah being one of them. What on earth is the Lord doing? But thankfully, as it comes to the end of this prophetic utterance, it's very clear that in the mind of Zechariah, one thing mattered. And it was the fact that God was going to be with his people and that God was going to act in mercy and grace towards them. And it's really that which I want us to as it were, imbibe, to bask under as we enter into the new year. That ultimately what matters is whether Christ is with you or not. A lot of details about life and living, situations that might engulf you as an entire nation, politically, economically, you've no idea what lies ahead. Or that might engulf you as a church or as a family. But if you can center your thoughts on this Christ, you know that with Christ in the vessel, you can smile at that storm. Now why is that? Well, verse 78 and 79 gives us something of an answer. Yes, spoken prophetically concerning God's people generally, the people of Israel more specifically, this is something that can apply to us as we look ahead into the future. The first thought that is in these two verses that is worth keeping very close to our hearts is this. That the God who sits on the throne of the universe is a God of tender mercy. Zechariah here sees the source, the fountain of this entire stream of God's visitation that lies ahead. He sees this as this characteristic of God, that God is good. Look at verse 78. He says, it is because of the tender mercy of our God. It is because of this that the sunrise shall visit us from on high. This is an attribute of God that we can easily forget when we are going through a difficult patch. We tend to think of God having perhaps forgotten us, especially when prayers have ascended to him again and again, and the opposite seems to be happening. We begin to think more in terms of my sin. Could God be coming in now to punish me for my sin because I am not perfect? Has he abandoned me? Has he shut the heavens so that ultimately I might lead my life, the remainder of my days, in sorrow? God is good. Whatever else we may think about him, his truthfulness, his being a God of justice and holiness, we must never hold that and then suggest that it clouds out the reality that he is a good God. Most of you will remember a prophet who wrestled with this issue, Habakkuk. As he saw the situation in Israel going from bad to worse, corruption,
in high and low places, pleading with God to visit the land. And God's visitation is one that points to further destruction. It causes Habakkuk to begin wondering whether some aspect of God was but a dream. He questions God. God reveals something of the further implications of what he is planning to do. That yes, I'm sending the Babylonians, they will come and wreak havoc, but later on they will also fall prey to another powerful nation. Habakkuk's cry to God is something like this. In wrath, remember mercy. As you deal in justice, in temporal justice, oh God, may your mercy also come and visit us. May I appeal to you in the same way? If as an individual, as a family, perhaps even as a church, you've had but a rough year, don't forget that seated on the throne of the entire universe is a God, not only of mercy, but of tender mercy. And especially so, if you are his child, he has already shown you something of the magnitude of his love, as we shall soon be seeing in the sending of his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. He's done more than that by sending his Spirit to visit you by way of salvation, bringing you to repentance and faith. You know what moved him? His tender mercy. And that's the greater part. What remains as he now guides your feet in the ways of peace to heaven is but a more powerful operation. It's very little. Oh, as you sit on the eve of the new year, I want to plead with you. Remember, God has mercy and love, care and grace for you. Go into the year with that thought upon your mind. The hymn writer writes the hymn, "Loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know." And somewhere along the line speaks about the need to just lie in that breast, letting all the worries as it were pass. Knowing that this God in whom I have come to trust is one that truly loves me. I really want to ask whether that's you as you enter into the coming year. Are you like that little child who, in the midst of a storm, is delighted to simply be in daddy's arms? That's it. I don't need to preoccupy myself with what might happen with this terrible storm that's taking place. I'm in daddy's arms. And I know he loves me. Well, in Zechariah's case, this tender mercy of God clearly
work towards giving a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. We read these words. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. Who is this sunrise? Well, in verse 76, we are told, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways. This is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. That ultimately, this is what he is about to do. And by using the word Lord, we are being reminded that this is about God himself coming down. Emmanuel, God with us. Yes, he was to be born as a little baby. Yes, he was to grow up as a carpenter's son. Yes, he was to enter upon a rather unpopular preaching ministry, despite the fact that he was going to do a lot of good to the people, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, raising the dead. The point is this, that what mattered to Zechariah was that the Lord himself was coming. That's it. Friends, as I've already said, life has its challenges. As you look into 2014, you might be depending on a good economy, a good church, a good home, individuals that you can rely upon. But I want to assure you, those things can easily change. As it was with Zechariah and the people of Israel, what matters the most is having Jesus himself with you. Ultimately, that's what matters. Now, granted, as we shall see in a moment, to begin with, as Jesus was being hunted like a wild animal across Palestine, it did not look like being with him meant you were in the winning team. But you see, faith sees beyond the physical. Faith believes the promises. This Jesus was born the King. It was a matter of time when he would vanquish his enemies. He was going through a period of humiliation primarily because he came to die for our sins. We read about that a little earlier on in Mark, where even soldiers would mock him, scourge him, put a mocking crown of thorns on his head, finally hang him upon a cruel cross. They would do anything like that to him. Pilate taking him through a mock trial. Jesus refusing to defend himself. His disciples running away from him. For dear life's sake, he was still in control. The purposes of God were to be accomplished through him. And the purposes were of salvation, to do good to his people. Oh, what a display of tender mercy. Let me ask you, as 2013 comes to an end, and 2014 begins.
Who
are you trusting?
If it's
your parents or your company or your politicians, may I warn you, you're heading for disappointment one way or the other.
But if you can learn to trust in this Jesus, to say to yourself, as I go into the year ahead, I'm glad of one thing. Jesus is with me.
And I want to assure you, it doesn't matter what comes. You're on the winning side.
Amen.
That's basically what excited Zechariah. It wasn't so much about his own son, but it was that this son was coming to announce a greater son, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Let me try and put it a little differently for those of you who are Christians already. Never underestimate the blessing that God has given in giving you. Never.
It's very easy to begin taking your Christianity for granted. And consequently, yes, Jesus is there. Yes, he'll get me to heaven. Yes, thank God for that. But when the chips are down and trials come into your life, you forget him
who is in that ship. And you start calling out for help in desperation for anybody and everybody. I'm saying to you, you are blessed to have Jesus. You are. The Apostle Paul refers to the Gentile world without Christ as being without God and without hope in this world. What a terrible state to be in. That's the non-Christian life.
It is one in which you can only have joy and peace and hope as long as the environment, the climate is favorable. But friends, that's a fool's paradise.
Because circumstances always change. Just as there is your mountaintop experience, the valley is going to be next. It's a matter of time. Therefore, don't take Jesus for granted. As you go into this coming year, close yourself up with God. And say to him, Lord, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for giving him to me as Emmanuel, God with us. Thank you for not only sending him into this world as a little baby born in Bethlehem, later on dying on the cross. Thank you for sending him into my heart by the Holy Spirit whom you have given to me. Thank you. That I can go into this year with Jesus in my life. I'm also specifically interested by the way in which Zechariah designates Jesus. He refers to him in our text as the rising sun. Back to Luke and chapter 1.
He says that because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The sunrise. As we go into 2014, if you forget everything else I have to say to you today, please remember the picture that Zechariah gives. Jesus as the sunrise. The rising of the sun. It's an apt description of the Lord. First of all, primarily because it's a journey we're thinking about. The sun rising speaks of time. It's not an instant picture you're looking at. It's an event that happens and continues to happen and is getting brighter and is getting better with every succeeding moment. Yes, clouds may come and for a while give a sense of darkness and gloom, but before you know it, the clouds have gone away and the sun continues to rise. What a picture. What a picture. A few similarities between Jesus and sunrise. First of all, it is the condition in which he finds us. Look at verse 79. He is giving light to those who sit in darkness. Light to those who are in the shadow of death. That's the state in which he finds us. He finds us in ignorance. He finds us in misery. He finds us with the pronouncement of God, the judicial pronouncement of God, hanging over our heads. That's the state in which Jesus finds us. That's the state in which you are if you are without the Lord Jesus Christ. A state of ignorance, of misery, with only one major agenda awaiting you: death. Physical death, eternal death in the lake of fire. So for you, 2014 doesn't hold promise. It's a threat. Because if that sword that hangs over your head suddenly drops, you're not only gone, but you're gone into doom forever. You need the sun to rise. You need him. That's the picture that is here. It's that situation in which he finds us. And those of you who are Christians will immediately testify that that was your story. To borrow the first part of the Beatitudes, you recognized your spiritual poverty. You mourned. You became meek. You were willing now to listen to what God has to say concerning your life. You hungered and thirsted for righteousness. And you were filled. The sun rose in your life. And what a difference it made. That's the first similarity between Jesus and the reality of sunrise. The second similarity that I find important here is that of guidance. We see it here. To guide our feet into the way of ultimately, light doesn't hold you by the hand and take you where it wants to take you. All that the light does is ultimately to stop you from hitting your toes against every conceivable object in the room. So there you are in the middle of the room, rather in the middle of the night, and you need to get from your bedroom to another room. I know exactly what you will do first. Reach out for the light. In order for you to go where you need to go, you need the light. You see, whatever you might be thinking is your need, let me tell you what your deepest need is: to find peace with the living God. That's your greatest need. It's not a nice husband or a nice wife. It's God. Reconciliation with God. And in your deepest soul, your conscience tells you that until you are reconciled to your Maker, you remain a troubled individual. And you may fight other people in the hope of somehow finding your little utopia in life. You're fighting the wrong fight. It's God that you desperately need. And you need to find peace with Him. Well, Jesus is that light, that sunrise. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. There is a similarity. He comes to guide our feet in the way of peace. That's what He does. So if you are here this morning and you haven't yet found peace, the answer is Jesus Christ. He's the answer. Let Him rise in your soul. And you will know a peace you never knew before. The sun rising in your heart. Two more similarities, and I must hurry on to close. The first is that the way of finding peace is actually the way of finding life. Eternal life. Life around us survives on sunlight. It does. All you need is to close off some section of your plants from direct sunshine, and before long you begin to see the effect. Wet steel, cover it off completely, put it in complete darkness, and come a few weeks later, there's death. Sunrise brings life. That's what Jesus brings to us. He brings it to the nation of Israel, the rejected. He brings it to the Gentiles. And if you accept Him as your Lord, as your Savior, if you call upon Him that He might save you, He brings you life. So those who are sitting in the shadow of death experience true life, eternal life, when Jesus Christ comes in. Again, what an apt parallel. Zechariah is saying, God is bringing us life through His Son. Remember the way in which John puts it? He that has the Son has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. In fact,
the wrath of God still hangs over him. Have you received eternal life yet? Or are you among the walking dead? Here's the final parallel, and with that I must close. It's the aspect of joy. As you look into 2014, I know what your heart is longing for. A joyful year. A year when that face of yours will be beaming with happiness. In the home, in the workplace, in the community, in school, in church. That your soul will have a song. The picture here of those sitting in darkness. You don't need to be a genius to imagine the way their faces are. Miserable. Miserable. Especially so in the shadow of death. Miserable. When the sun rises, the picture changes. Back home a few years ago, we had a total eclipse of the sun. It was in mid-afternoon. And our family got out, we sat by the lawn, and we had some glasses that were being sold and given out free to enable us to look at that eclipse without damaging our eyes. And as we sat there and the whole event began to happen, believe it or not, the birds began to rush back to their nests. They must have had a shock of their lives, because a few minutes later, it was dawn again. I'm pretty sure there must have been some serious conversations taking place in those nests as to what on earth has happened. But what I still remember so many years later was the way in which the birds began to sing. I mean, those are songs I normally hear in the morning, and I just take them for granted. But now it was mid-afternoon, and there they were singing again. The sun had risen. There was joy in the breasts of those birds. In those nests. That's what Jesus brings. He brings joy into our hearts. And that's the reason why one of the first signs that you've become converted is that He puts a song on your heart. A song that you did not know before. You sang along with everybody in church, but it wasn't born from within. But when the Lord saves you, there's a joy that fills your soul. The sun has risen. And that's the reason why on earth, the group of people that sin is the church of Jesus Christ. Yes, others will be trained into choirs for a whole nation or city or community, and they learn to play the instruments, and through training somehow they seem to sing well. But let me tell you, they sing well from their vocal cords upwards. Not from the heart. You come to the Christian church without going through all those trainings. The sun rising in the heart. The soul begins to sing. Are you longing for
cannot be quenched in 2014, despite the circumstances. Let the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, rise in your heart. I want to assure you, the blasts will come. The cold weather will come. Situations will come that may cause so many people to feel sorry for you. But if you have Jesus, there's one thing that will not be quenched from you. A song in your heart. Oh, may you come to Christ and experience it. May you go with Him into the year ahead. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, where would we be without Him? I shudder to even think about it. Thank you for the differences made in our individual lives. Thank you for the difference He has made in our homes, in our marriages, in our parent-children relationships. Thank you, Lord, for the change that is brought about even in our society as He has changed the hearts of individuals. Oh, what a better world we have because of the sunrise. And Father, as we enter into the year ahead, we don't know the details that have been inscribed in that book in heaven about our lives. We don't know. But we thank you that the hand that inscribed them is of a God of tender mercy. We thank you that the hand that inscribed those events that lie ahead is the hand that sent us a Savior from heaven, who even now resides in our hearts. We thank you that He can so easily be characterized as a rising. We look forward, O God, to this coming year with hope because Jesus is with us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Go with us and glorify yourself in our lives. We beseech you for Jesus' sake. Amen.